Would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Would like to read from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God and to know that You're not only the God of heaven and earth who created this earth, but You're our Heavenly Father. We're thankful for the magnitude of Your love for us in sending Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're also thankful, Lord, that You've blessed us all beyond measure every day of our lives here on this earth. We thank Thee for the bountiful blessings of life. Thank You for all the natural blessings, for the food, clothing, and shelter that we usually take for granted. But we pray that You would give us a thankful heart for the natural blessings, but most of all we thank Thee for the spiritual blessings that are ours. We thank Thee for the privilege to be a part of Thy church and Thy kingdom in the earth. We thank Thee for Thy holy word, and we thank You for the felt presence of Thy Spirit. We pray that You would guide us and direct us by Your Spirit every day of our lives. We thank Thee, Lord, for blessing those that have been sick to be doing better. We thank You for those that have had surgery, and we pray that You would continue to touch them and lift them up, heal them, and restore them to their health. We ask You to bless those that have had other kinds of problems and troubles. Bless each and every one. We pray that You would bless all of the elderly, that they would feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You would bless them in all of their aches and pains and troubles and problems, that You would watch over and protect them and deliver them from harm and danger, that You would be their companion and their refuge, and that You would be their strength every day. Bless all of those that have special burdens and problems. You know the burdens of every person that's here today and all of Your people the world over. And we pray that You would bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Bless us now in this hour. May Thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May we learn from Thy word, and may we rejoice in Thy word this day. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We'd like to read this morning from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The Word of God says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I want us to think this morning about the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we turn to the New Testament, what would you say is the number one name that is given to Jesus Christ? What would you say is the number one name? Jesus. You remember how the angel told Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's the number one name. That's the name that is above every name, is the name Jesus. And yet there are many other names that, as we read the Word of God, we find there are many other names that Jesus is called by. In fact, even in that same chapter, in Matthew chapter 1, the Word of God says that His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So in the first chapter of Matthew, we have His name shall be called Jesus, and His name shall be called Emmanuel. In this prophecy that we have from the book of Isaiah, we find that His name, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, His name shall be called Wonderful. Now that's a name. His name shall be called Wonderful. There are those that say that this means not wonderful, but Wonderful Counselor. But I believe that it's His name shall be called Wonderful. And then another name, His name shall be called Counselor. He shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And there's a reason for every name. I know that sometimes when we pick names for our children, sometimes we give them a name because it's the name of, sometimes we give them our name. For example, my son's name is William Martin Mullis Jr. Gave him the same name as I have. I have my daddy and my granddaddy's name. The names that we have usually mean something. They meant a lot more in biblical times than they do today, I think, for the most part. I think there are many people today that choose a name and it doesn't mean anything in particular to them. It's just that it's a name that sounds good to them. But in biblical times, names meant something. There was a reason that his name was called Jesus. There was a reason that his name was called Emmanuel. Because those two names mean something. And we'll look at that later, the Lord willing. But this morning we're going to try to look at these five names that God's Word says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I want you to know that those are names that Jesus is called. And there is a reason for every one of those names. I want us to begin with his name being called Wonderful. Why is his name Wonderful? Why is he given that name of being Wonderful? I want us to look at some things that the Word of God teaches. And we won't be able to cover any one of these names as much as we need to, but I do want to get to these five names this morning. So you pray that God will help us that we might see that there is a purpose and a reason for every one of these names. His name shall be called Wonderful. Why is his name called Wonderful? Let's back up just a moment first to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I'm going to mention just three or four reasons that I believe his name is called Wonderful. In Psalm 107, listen please, in this verse, this statement is mentioned four or five times in this one chapter. In Psalm 107, I want you to listen please to verse 8. Psalm 107 and verse 8 says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, the Word of God says that we should be praising the Lord for his goodness. That's one reason. And the second reason he gives here is for his wonderful works to the children of men. Brethren, that's one reason that his name is Wonderful, is because of the wonderful works that he does for the children of men. Has God done some wonderful works in your life? Has God done some wonderful works in your life? Did you know that even while you were being formed in your mother's womb, it was God that was forming you there? The reason that I have 10 fingers and 10 toes, you know what the first thing is that we did with every one of our children? We counted their fingers and their toes. We want to see, is my child whole? Is he? Does he have all of the parts, or she have all the parts that the child ought to have? It is God that hath made us. And the Word of God says that we are fearfully and, what's the next word? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me and God made you. Even children, that you remember when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel. And Moses said, God, I'm a man with a problem of speech. And God said, who made you like that? I made you just like you are. Every person that's born, God made those individuals. And there is a purpose. Even when there are difficulties and problems and afflictions that people have, there's a purpose in that. You remember when the man was born blind and the apostles wanted to know, who sinned, this man or his parents that he was born blind. And God said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the glory of God would be manifested. I want you to know there was a reason that child was born blind. And God is the one that made that child, even though the child was blind when he was born. God didn't make a mistake, and it was not some freakish accident. God made that child just like that for a purpose. God is wonderful, and we need to think about the wonderful works that God does for the children of men. God made you, and that's a wonderful work. The marvelous thing how God creates a child, how God makes that child, and how God forms that child. And the Word of God makes this statement, as we think about all the different, what are some of the wonderful works that God does for the children of men? Besides the fact that you were born, and most all of you were born with all your fingers and all of your toes, besides that wonderful work, there are many other wonderful works that God has done in your life. Listen, I would say that even more important than being born the first time is the new birth. And that's a wonderful work. It's a marvelous work. It's a work that only God can do. The fact that God came to you while you were dead in trespasses and sins, and God quickened you, and God implanted His Spirit within you, that's a wonderful work that only God can do. Did you know I have never caused you to be born again, and nobody else has ever caused somebody to be born again, and I didn't cause me to be born again? It is a wonderful work that God alone can do. He alone is the giver of life and the sustainer of life. And those are wonderful works that God has done. Eternal salvation, everything about eternal salvation, Jesus being sent into this world, is a wonderful work that God did. It's a marvelous work that God gave His only begotten Son, that God sent Jesus, the Father sent the Son, down into this world. That's a wonderful work. Do you see why His name is called Wonderful? It's because of the wonderful works that God does that His name is called Wonderful. Turn in your Bibles, go forward in your Bibles to Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 129. Here's another reason that I believe His name is called Wonderful. Besides the fact that He does wonderful works to the children of men, and we should praise Him for those wonderful works, and we should call Him Wonderful. Besides the fact that He has done wonderful works, there's another reason that I believe His name should be called Wonderful. And that's in Psalm 119, verse, Word of God says, verse 129, Thy testimonies are what? Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The testimonies of God is the same thing as the commandments of God. It's the Word of God. The testimonies of God are wonderful. There is no testimony. There is no commandment. There is no statute. There is nothing that God has said that is not a wonderful statement. And therefore, because His testimonies are wonderful, what can you say His name is? His name is wonderful because He has done wonderful works to the children of men, and because He has wonderful testimonies. Is there any testimony? Is there anything in God's Word that's not a wonderful testimony? No. Every statement in all of the Word of God is a wonderful testimony. Therefore, His name is called Wonderful. Go with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Here's another reason the Word of God gives that His name is called Wonderful. Here's another wonderful thing about God. And how many wonderful things are there about God? How long do you think you can preach on His name being called Wonderful? You could preach forever because everything about God is wonderful. And His name is wonderful. In Psalm 139, listen please to the first several verses there. David says in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Does God know you? God know you? Did you know God knows you far better than you know yourself? The Bible says, I mentioned that I counted my fingers, my children's fingers and toes. Did you know, and I've never counted my children's hairs of their head. But the Bible says that even your hairs, the hairs of your head are numbered. You think God knows how many hairs are in your head? Yes, sir. That's not a figure of speech. It's not an analogy. It is true that God knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're doing. Nobody else may know the secret sins in your life. God knows what's going on in your life. Everything that you're doing, God knows all about it. Everything. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Verse 2 says, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Does God know when you sit down and when you get up? Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my fault afar off. Do you know what you're going to do tomorrow? Do you know what you're going to do tomorrow? I don't know for sure what I'm going to do tomorrow, and you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. The Bible says that. And the Bible says that God not only knows what we're going to do, He knows our faults afar off. Is that wonderful and marvelous that God could know all of that? He knows our thoughts afar off. Verse 3 says, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Listen, verse 6 now. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. What's he saying? I cannot comprehend the knowledge of God. I cannot really fathom that God knows everything. Can you imagine that? You know, if the only one he knew everything about was just one person, that would be more knowledge than any of you have. But God knows everything about everybody. You can deceive other people. You can deceive your parents. You can deceive your pastor. You can deceive all kinds of people, but you cannot deceive God. God knows what you're doing. God knows everything about your life. And God will bring every work into judgment. Every one of them. God knows everything. And what does the Scripture say in verse 6? He says, such knowledge, the knowledge that God has, such knowledge is too what? It's too wonderful for me. Is the knowledge of God wonderful? Is it too wonderful for you to comprehend? And that's another one of the reasons His name is called what? His name shall be called Wonderful. In fact, there are many other statements in the Word of God. For example, the Word of God says in Isaiah 28 and verse 29, the Word of God says that the Lord is a wonderful counselor. Let's just stop there. Well, let's start there. We go, what was the second name in Isaiah 9:6? His name shall be called Wonderful. The second name, His name shall be called Counselor. And the Bible declares in the book of Isaiah that He is a wonderful counselor. A wonderful counselor. We have individuals, our parents, counselors. Our parents, should parents be counselors? Indeed, they should be. And by the way, children, you need to listen to your parents too. The Bible says that a wise man will listen to counsel. And there are counselors that can help you and can help me. There are a number of different people that I have gone to during my life. There are many people that I have gone to for counsel. But there's one counselor that excels them all. And that's Jesus Christ. And the Bible says His name should be called Counselor. Do you use the greatest counselor? Do you ever go to Him for counsel? James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, if you don't know what to do, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If you need wisdom, if you need to know what to do, and I'm sure there are those of you in this congregation that are not sure what to do about some things in your life. If you don't know what to do, go to a counselor. The Bible says, in a multitude of counselors, listen, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now let me say this. You can go to a counselor that will lead you in the wrong direction. Did you know that? There are counselors that will lead you completely opposite from what God's Word says. If I want to get, did you know I can get somebody to tell me almost anything I want to hear? Can you get somebody to counsel you to do whatever you want to do? There are people that have no scruples, they have no integrity, and you can ask them something, and if they know what you want to hear, you know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. You know why? Because they don't care about truth. You need, when you're seeking counsel, you need to get counsel from somebody that has wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion. You need to get counsel and only get counsel from those that are that know what God's Word says. If you get counsel from somebody that doesn't know the Word of God, you're going to get the wrong kind of counsel. You know why? Because God's ways are different than our ways. And if you listen to man, the Word of God says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You need to trust His counsel. Or is there a lot of wise counsel in God's Word? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall, what? Direct, what? Thy paths. Do you need to know what to do this coming week? Do you need to know what to do? Are you trying to make some decisions in your life? If you need to know what to do and you're trying to make decisions, the most important counselor is the one whose name is Counselor, and that is God. That is Jesus Christ. His name is called Counselor because He is the greatest and only perfect counselor that there is or ever has been or ever shall be. And therefore, His name is called Counselor. His name is called Counselor. The next expression in Isaiah 9:6 is that His name shall be called the Mighty God. Is Jesus really God? Is Jesus really God? Yes, He is. Jesus is God. Let's look at just a couple of scriptures that teach that. Back up in your Bibles just a moment to John chapter 1. Go in your Bibles to John chapter 1. And the Word of God here tells us that Jesus is the Mighty God. He is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. But He is God. Jesus is God. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 1, verse 1. The Word of God says here in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning, and this is talking about in the beginning of this world and the creation of this world, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now does this, regardless of whatever else is said, does this declare that the Word was God? The Word was God. Now come down to verse 14. You go home and read all of this. But in verse 14, the Word of God says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that Word that was made flesh? It's Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we think about Isaiah 9 and verse 6, we think about the third name there. His name shall be called the Mighty God. We understand why His name is called the Mighty God. It's because Jesus is the Mighty God. Jesus says, well, Jesus is the Mighty God. What's the next name? Let's go to the next name. After the Mighty God in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, what's the next name? The what? Okay, that's a good one. This dear sister says that one of His names is I Am. One of His names is I Am. I Am. He is present. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. I Am. He's the great I Am. In Isaiah 9:6, the Word of God says His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. And then the next expression is His name shall be called the everlasting Father. Now, have you ever had trouble comprehending? Is there anybody here that's ever had trouble comprehending the triune God? Is there anybody here that's ever had trouble comprehending the triune God? Well, I sure have too. And I want to tell you, as long as you're in this body, and as long as you're in the flesh, you cannot fully comprehend God. God is past finding out. You can't comprehend God. You can come up with all kinds of illustrations to try to show God. One of the best ones I've ever heard, but it has flaws, is that God, you can see the triune God as you look at an apple. That in that apple, you have one apple, but what do you have on the outside of the apple? You have the peeling, which is the protector, which is like God the Father. He's the protector. And inside the peeling, what do you have there? The flesh, the meat of the apple. You have the apple that you eat normally, and they're supposed to eat all of it. But the flesh is what the inside is called, and that flesh represents Jesus Christ. So the outside of the apple represents God the Father, the flesh represents God the Son, and what do the seeds represent? God the Holy Spirit. The seeds, or the core, represents God the Holy Spirit. Now, while that's a pretty good illustration, it has all kinds of problems with it. And you can't come up with any way to define and describe the triune God. But all we can do is by faith believe what God says. Jesus says, I and my Father are what? Are one. I want you to turn to John chapter, turn in your Bibles just quickly to John chapter 14. We're talking about that Jesus' name shall be called the Everlasting Father. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. Jesus says in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. But I want you to notice now in John chapter 14, listen please to verses 8 and 9. John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. The Word of God says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Do you hear what Philip's request was? Philip asked Jesus. Philip requested, Jesus, show us the Father. You hear what his request is? Show us the Father, and it will suffice us. That's all we want. Just show us the Father. Listen to what Jesus' response is in verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. His name shall be called what? What's the first name in Isaiah 9:6? His name shall be called Wonderful. What's the second name? His name shall be called Counselor. What's the third name? His name shall be called the Mighty God. What's the fourth name? His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And what's the last name that's given back there in Isaiah 9:6? His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Now let me quickly say something here, because I believe many people completely misunderstand Jesus being the Prince of Peace. I've had many people tell me that Jesus wants us all to be one big happy family. I've got relatives that's their desire. They always say, oh, I wish we could all just be one big happy family. And that relative and other friends of mine, they want to do everything they can to have peace. And they say, you know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Jesus wants us all to be at peace. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you don't understand the difference in the peace that the world gives and the peace that Jesus gives, you can be led down a path of doomsday. Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 34, Jesus says, Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And a man's enemies shall be they of his own household. And he goes in and describes there that sometimes even a father will be against a son and a son against the father. And he describes there, he says, if you love your father more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. You remember that passage there? You go home and study it. He's saying you cannot. You cannot be at peace with the ungodly and be at peace with Jesus. Everybody understand that? Now there is a peace. I've heard some people say, well, nobody doesn't like him. You can't be a follower of Jesus and everybody like you. If you want everybody to like you, you're headed down a path that will lead to your destruction. Amen. Listen, just a minute. Is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Yes, He is. He is the Prince of Peace. Now, there's a difference in natural peace and the peace that passeth all understanding. There's a difference in the peace which means a lack of conflict. Can you ever have no conflict with people and be a follower of Jesus Christ? Did Jesus have problems with people and people have problems with Jesus? Did people have problems with the apostles as long as they followed what God's Word says? Do people have problems with the true church of Jesus Christ when the church follows what God's Word says? Do they despise them and are more and more so-called Christians today as they go in the wrong direction? Are they despising what is right? And they're calling evil good and they're calling good evil. Why is all that happening? It's because they don't understand that if you're going to be a friend of the world, you are the enemy of God. That's what the Scripture says. If you're a friend of the world, you are the enemy of God. You can't be friends with everybody. But there is a peace. Listen carefully. There is a peace that God's people can have when they follow Jesus Christ, who is called the Prince of Peace. In fact, in John 14, verse 9, who did Jesus say He is? In John 14, 9, who did Jesus say He is? What name do you see there? No, in John 14, 9, what's the name that you see there? The Everlasting Father. In John 14, 9, you see Jesus says the Everlasting Father. Now come to John 14, verse 27. John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What's Jesus saying in John 14, 27? When He says, "Peace I leave with you," is He saying there's a difference in the peace I give you and the peace the world will give you? If you want to be at peace with the world, then you're the enemy of God. If you want the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. Everybody listen in closing to this one statement. If you want the peace of God that passeth all understanding, if you want the peace in your soul that only God can give, if you want to know Him who is called the Prince of Peace, then you have to do what God's Word says. I pray that God will help us all to realize names mean something, don't they? Names mean something. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God. He shall be called the Prince of Peace. And He shall be called the Everlasting Father. May God help us to think about His name. His names is my prayer for Christ's sake.